Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue with our worship service with the singing, Psalter 287, the first two verses. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. To God ascribe glory and wisdom and might. Let God in his creatures forever delight. 1 and 2 of 287. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, there of the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 22 to the end. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and do knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, you wish to announce with thankfulness to the Lord that the following young people have met with the consistory with the desire to make public confession of faith, the Lord willing, on Sunday, May 17th. Nathan Averink, Brandon Hoflaken, Elena Colmes, Aliyah Kopilar, Rebecca Korvar, Johannes Scholten, Carrie Stubby, Shailen Van Woerden, and William Van Woerden. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by May 12th, 2026. And we also ask for prayer, as the Lord willing, on our consistory meeting this Tuesday, the consistory desires to add an elder and a deacon. So on that meeting, we'll be making a duel to present to the congregation, and so we ask for your prayers. Let's ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Almighty, eternal, faithful, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this first day of the week, on this beautiful morning, where we may see new life in creation, and we may see the sunshine, but Lord, also, that again, we may enter into thy house to hear thy precious word, law, and gospel. And Lord, as we have gathered together in thy mercy and long-suffering patience, we beg thee that thou would gather with us, that thou would come among us with thy presence and bless thy word powerfully, irresistibly, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thou could righteously pass us by because of who we are. We have left thee in paradise, never to return. We have turned away from thee, given thee our backs, and we seek everything by nature for self. We serve Satan, sin, and the world, and we're enemies by nature. We need thy grace. And we all individually have our own personal sin. We have original sin on each of our accounts, but also all our sins, a mountain of sins that we cannot number, because we sin against all thy commandments. We sin in our whole being, with our thoughts, words, deeds, desires, affections. It's all polluted. There's no love for thee. By nature, we are only prone to hate thee and our neighbor. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. And may it be a wonder to us that we may yet be in the land of the living in the time of grace. Others throughout the world, many, have been called out of this life to stand before thee to give an account. And then they have been judged. An eternal well or eternal woe has begun. And we may yet, with our children and as a congregation, be together to hear thy precious word. O Lord, we beg thee then that thou would richly bless it for thy honor, for thy glory, that thy kingdom may come, that certain sinners may be born again and drawn unto thee, and that thy people may be edified in that most holy faith. Oh, that sinners would be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Oh, that sinners would be drawn by thy grace unto that only door, unto him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we beg thee, pass us not by, and we have nothing as a congregation to plead upon except thy precious word. From our sides, it's all polluted, no rights. And yet, may we be together. May it have been before we even came to thy house that we are beggars, begging thee for mercy, for thy blessing, to help the sinner on the pulpit and to bless each person from the youngest to the oldest, to take away hearts of stone, to give hearts of flesh, to open spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice, to enlighten darkened sinful minds to thy truth. Oh, that thou would teach us and impart the truth, thy truth, of thy precious word, of who we are, of who thou art, and of that way of salvation into our hearts. Oh, that hearers by thy grace may become doers. Lord, then look upon us in mercy. We beg and pray thee that thou would remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend, a classmate. Lord, wilt thou then sanctify the callings that come unto us from thy word and from thy acts of providence. Oh, may we make haste for our life's sake. Oh, may we see soul lost, all lost. Lord, have mercy. We beg and pray thee, remember all the sick and afflicted, all those with cares and needs for their body and for their mind. Remember those with cancer. We think, Lord, especially also of Jeff Veldesgraf, as in this week he'll receive a test. Oh, we beg thee that he may receive a good report in thy mercy. And Lord, wilt thou give grace to follow thee, to surrender. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would look upon him and his family in mercy, especially not only for his body, but for each of their souls and for all our souls. Oh, may we see what we all have, that great disease of sin, and that we need that great physician to heal us, and that he has the power, that he has the grace, that we need his righteousness to cover us, unrighteous, filthy sinners, and that he has that blood to cleanse and to atone the vilest, the chiefest of sinners. Lord, wilt thou teach and guide and lead thy dear children, the little lambs and the sheep. Oh, may thy word today also be a blessing unto them, that they may be on that narrow way that leadeth unto thee and to be instructed. Oh, that they also may be striving to enter in, that they may be fighting that good fight of faith, that they may be pressing to that mark, killing the old men and putting on the new men. Lord, we beg thee, then bless thy word to the whole congregation. Lord, we acknowledge thee also among us, as we have heard all those names of young people who have a desire to make public confession of faith. Lord, remember each one of them. Give grace to answer those questions. Lord, look upon each one. Teach them not only the truths that they have heard in the past season to their minds, but especially to their hearts, and that there may be those fruits of that new birth, of that godly sorrow, of that true repentance, and that true faith, of that hungering and thirsting after thee. Lord, we all need it. We all need the same thing. We all have the same name, sinner, and we need thy grace, and we all need that Savior, and we all must be saved. Oh, give that urgency. Give that none can sit comfortably lost. Shake and awake, Lord, those who are yet dead, and that they may make urgency for their life's sake. And if any are upon false grounds, Lord, wilt thou also awaken them before it is forever too late. Lord, guide and lead us also as a consistory, as we have a desire that there may be added in thy favor and according to thy will to the consistory another elder, another deacon. Oh, may we beg thee, guide us and lead us by thy word and spirit unto men that thou would have as an elder, as a deacon. Lord, may we be supported on the wings of prayer, that the congregation may be bowing their knees and begging thee, guide those men, Lord, that it all may be in thy favor and with thy blessing. Lord, bless thy word throughout the world, among thy covenant people, among the Jews. Take away the veil from their eyes, and that thy word, the New Testament, that testifies of Jesus Christ, all that they may come to know and see that he is that promised Messiah, work a need for him, Lord, and reveal him unto them. But bless thy word throughout also all nations among the Gentiles, also in Bolivia. Lord, that many there also may come to know by thy free and sovereign grace that they are wretches, but also may come to know that precious Savior who came to seek and to save lost, guilty, hell-worthy sinners. Help them, the church workers. Remember them and their families. Remember the elders, the deacons, thy servants. And especially may we beg thee, help Pastor Marco. And Lord, wilt thou provide also in Bolivia men who have thy grace and that are called by thee, that thou would thrust them out. Oh, that there may be many under shepherds and ambassadors in thy favor to proclaim also in Bolivia death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, wilt thou supply? Thou art the King of the church. It's thy church. Look upon them and us in mercy, and wilt thou also provide for us. Oh, we beg thee that thou would call, that thou would thrust out, and that thou would gladden us with thy deeds in the coming weeks. Lord, we lay all these needs and cares before thee. Remember also that family, Jeremy and Arlene Van Wyk, who have received a healthy baby girl. Lord, may we acknowledge thee that thou hast spared life, that thou hast given life. Care for them. Give them all that they need, the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and all of us as parents to raise our children to the utmost of our power in the truth of thy word. Lord, remember also parents who hear of others, other children, other young adults who have a desire to make public confession of faith and to become confessing members, and their children have gone astray, living in the world. O Lord, thou art the Almighty God. Thou hast brought that prodigal son to himself. Thou art that same one. Lord, work then. Bring them to themselves. Bring them back under thy truth, under thy word, and bless them and us. And so, Lord, we beg thee, give opening to preach. Take away all the fear of man, all the desire of the praise of men, and give a mouth to speak. Thus saith the Lord. Give that we may keep it simple, clear, that it may be to the meaning of the Spirit. Help the children to listen, to understand, the teenagers, older ones, all of us, and give those blessings that thou alone can give, thou who art the triune, almighty, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth. O Lord, wilt thou hear us? Wilt thou visit us? Wilt thou look upon us in mercy and bless us with those blessings that thou only can give? We pray and beg and ask in the forgiveness of our many sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 229, the first five stanzas. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, faint to see thy hallowed courts, thy dwelling place. For thee my heart and spirit sigh, for thee, O living God, I cry. 229, the first five stanzas. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, the word of God which we hope to consider this morning is from Luke 13, verse 23 and 24. Luke 13, verse 23 and 24. Then when one said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So far from God's precious word. The theme this morning is Jesus' response to an inquisitive question. Jesus' response to an inquisitive question. Three thoughts. First, the question asked, are there few that be saved? What is it to be saved? Are there few that be saved? So the question asked. Second, the command given, strive to enter in at the strait gate. That's the command. The Lord Jesus gave that command. And third, the warning declared, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When will that take place? We will listen to what the Lord speaks in his word. So Jesus responds to an inquisitive question. The question asked, the command given, and the warning declared. And so with the Lord's help, our first thought, the question asked. Children, adults, congregation, do you have questions? Maybe you have many questions in your heart. You don't want to ask anyone else. And in this history, we hear of one who has a question. We don't know who it is. We have no idea who it is. Might have been a boy, a girl. We don't know. An older one, a man, a woman. But what is the question? Well, we read in Luke 13, verse 23, are there few that be saved? Congregation, you must be saved. So what is it to be saved? Let's begin there this morning. What is it to be saved? You need to be eternally saved. You need to be eternally rescued. You need to be eternal brought into the kingdom of God on earth, but into that eternal kingdom. Saved. Salvation. But what is it to be saved? Is that just a mouth confession? I am a Christian? Is that what it is to be saved? And only an outward confession of knowledge? Or is it to be baptized? Or is it to be a confessing member? Is it to attend the Lord's Supper? Can we stand before the Almighty God only with a mouth confession? Only with outward things? Being baptized, confession of faith, going to the Lord's Supper? Can we stand before a holy, mighty God and be saved only with an outward confession? I read in the Word of God that there will be those who knock on that door, Lord, Lord, open to us. And what will he say? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Salvation is not only a mouth confession. It needs to be profoundly much more. What is it to be saved? It's to be delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit from the dominion of Satan, sin, and the world. That is to be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to be saved, we need more than an outward confession. We need to be born again. We need to be made radically new. We need to be recreated. Open your Bible to what we read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. We need to be delivered from the dominion of sin, Satan. We need to be born again. We need to become a new creature by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what does a new creature do? What is one that's born again? What does he do? What does he do? What's one thing? He repents. He flees from sin, as we read in Luke 13, verse 5. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So it's not only an outward confession. You must be born again, become a new creature. You must repent. To be saved is to be delivered from the power and the guilt of sin already in this present life by God's grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. To be saved, to be pardoned, to be justified from all your sins, there needs to be repentance and faith in that only Savior, in that precious Savior, in his righteousness and in his blood. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So faith, saved. You need to be born again. You need to be delivered from the power of sin and Satan. You need repentance. You need faith in that only Savior. And you need confession that comes out of your heart. It comes out of the heart by God's grace, as we read in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And yet it's more. You must be saved. What is it to be saved? It's more. It's also to be delivered on the great day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. When he comes with on his throne with all those myriad of thousands of angels, and he separates them all, and you stand before his throne to be delivered, to hear the sentence, to be standing before him, and that you may hear personally for you, I have paid the ransom for him, for her. Deliver him, deliver her from going down into the pit. To be saved is to also be declared on judgment day, to be presented blameless, faultless, spotless before the throne, before the Lamb in Jesus Christ. So what is it to be lost? That's to be unrepentant. That's to be unbelieving. That's to hear on judgment day such an opposite, horrible message. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire, forever cursed. So what is it to be saved? It's to hear from the lips of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, from the Lord Jesus Christ on judgment day, come, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What is it to be saved? It's to be eternally saved in this life and forever by God's free and sovereign grace, by the work of the power of the Holy Spirit in and through those merits of Jesus Christ. That's what it is to be saved, complete salvation. And recipients of grace, they have their names written in the book of life. And he is going home, as we hope to consider, on Ascension Day, to prepare a place for them. And he will return and take them home. And yet they're saved already, and they will be saved completely, and yet they are in a battle. Those little lambs, those sheep, those who have been born again, are in a battle. They're not home yet. They need to be completely delivered from sin, self. They're saved by grace and by grace alone. And yet there is coming a full redemption, full salvation. What is it to be saved? Completely saved. Brought home. Congregation, children, boys and girls, you must be saved. And my heart's desire for absolutely every single one of you and who has ever listened, my heart's desire for you is by God's grace, you may be saved. And there arises an inquisitive question. Are there few that be saved? Congregation, is there few? Is there many? What's a better question for you and me? What's a much better question? Am I saved? Are you saved? And will you be eternally saved? A question. Are there few that be saved? Let's ask this question generally in the world. Few? They would answer, everyone. except maybe really bad people. Really bad people, maybe like a murderer. Or if you ask people, where are you going to go when you die? So many will say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. Others say, no, when you die, it's end. Just like a dog, that's the end. And others say, I'm going to go to heaven. More today confess they're going to go to heaven, but less go to church. Less faithfully attend two worship services, obeying God. Less read their Bible, meditating upon the truths of the Word. Less follow after holiness, killing the old man and putting on the new man. But let's go a little closer. Ask in the church through the world. Are there few that be saved? Few? Many teach universal redemption. That the Lord is love, the Lord is mercy, and eventually everyone will be saved. And many die, like what we heard, hoping to enter in, coming to that door, knocking, expecting to enter in, and completely lost. Depart from me. May that never be you, my friend. But let's come even closer. Let's come in this church. Let's come to our own hearts. Our own hearts personally. We know the truth. We hear the truth. We confess the truth. We hear the law. We hear the gospel. We know the wages of sin is death. We confess it. We know we will all end in eternal hell or eternal heaven. We know each one of us and we confess it. I will be eternally lost or I will be eternally saved. We know it, congregation. You know it. But is there urgency? Is there urgency? Or are you just comfortable? What are you? So, not so bad, but not so good. Confessing the truth and just comfortable. Comfortably lost. We confess the doctrine of God's free and sovereign grace. But we're paralyzed. We're paralyzed. Satan whispers. He whispers, he twists the truth. He uses God's word. He used the doctrines, the teaching of the word. And our wicked hearts easily agree under all the truth, under all the doctrines, and especially also under the doctrine of predestination and election. And we become just fatalistic, spiritually paralyzed. In our hearts, let's be honest, there's rebellion by nature. We're enemies by nature, and we don't like it. And we have those excuses, and we begin to start to reason. If God has determined I will be saved, then he will save me. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter. If I'm going to be saved, I will be saved. It doesn't matter what I do. I'll go to church twice on Sunday. I'll keep my conscience quiet. Maybe I'll read the Bible once in a while, but I'll just live my life. And if it will happen, it will happen. What is the chance? What is the possibility of me ever being saved? There's few that are saved. And we listen to the word of God. And we can even point to truths. And Satan uses those also. And we use arguments. We hear the question, are there few that be saved? And we think. We begin to reason with the Bible even. Lot. How many were saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah? A few. When the flood came, how many were saved? Few. I think of when the Lord Jesus, when Isaiah prophesied about him, how many believed his report? How many? The Lord speaks of a remnant. We can point to all those truths. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 6, many followed him, but many left. Only few stayed with him. And so we know so many places to say, few. Are there few that be saved? What's the answer? What does wisdom say? What does God say in his word? The Lord Jesus Christ does not directly answer this question. He doesn't. And yet he answers implying things. Let's look at a few texts. Let's look back into Luke 13 verse 24. Are there few that be saved? Or are there many? Well, let's listen to what he said in Luke 13 verse 24. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When will that be? That will be when the Lord returns. and they will not be able to enter. No, he doesn't say few will not be able to enter, but many, many will be lost on judgment day. But let's open our Bibles to a parallel text to this portion, Matthew 17. Let's read verse 13 and 14 and what the Lord Jesus Christ says there. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So what's the conclusion? What does the Lord Jesus Christ himself imply? Few will be saved. Many will go lost. In the total population of the whole world, from Adam to the last man. And yet, we read in Revelation that there will be an innumerable multitude that will be resaved and redeemed, saved in the fullness of the words. Who will be saved? Children, do you know? Congregation, do you know? You have the answer. And you can point to the doctrines of the Bible. Who will be saved? The elect, those whom God has chosen, they will be saved. And that's the truth, the absolute truth. It's true. They will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? By God's grace. By God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon the merits of Jesus Christ. Are there few that will be saved? The world says many, most, or all. The Lord Jesus Christ says many will be go lost. Few will find that door. Many will be on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. And many will be lost when he returns. And so let's think of a few things now. We hear from the Bible, few will be saved. We hear the doctrine of predestination, election, they will be saved. But what are we supposed to do with this? Is that your question? Some of you are so stuck you know the truth. You become spiritually paralyzed. And I beg the Lord, what must I say to these people? What must I bring to them today? And I begged him, and I wrestled, and I prayed, and I believe the Lord brought me to this text. To this text. What is the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to such questions? And that's what I want you and I to listen to. The Lord's going to bring one word to us this morning. And you need to listen to that one word, all of us. What's the response? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say to such questions, inquisitive questions? Are there few that be saved with all the background of predestination and election? And so we come to our second thought, the command given. The Lord Jesus is teaching. He's preaching. He's going through the cities as we read in verse 22. And the Lord's preaching was very discriminating. Very discriminating. He spoke more about hell than any other person, but he was also very separating. The wise builder, the foolish builder, the tares, the wheats, the five foolish virgins, the wise virgins. His preaching was very searching. But I want you also to look back in chapter 12, Luke 12, verse 32, what he said there. Because we may wonder, why did this question even arise? But he's teaching, he's preaching. And we read in Luke 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." And so they knew, those people, that the Lord Jesus clearly taught that not all will be saved, that there's a separation. Also in Luke 12, there will even be a separation in families. Father and a daughter, son and a mother, there will be a separation in the family. And so the question arises through his teaching, through his preaching. Are there few that be saved? Who responds, children? Who responds to this question? who responds in an excellent, wise way? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's teaching and he's preaching. What does he teach about? What was his whole purpose? Well, we read in John 8, verse 20, "But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." What does he preach about? The kingdom of heaven. About salvation. About being saved and entering eternally into that salvation, into that kingdom, being eternally saved. Let me read in Matthew 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." So the Lord Jesus taught and preached as he was taught by his Father. And now his response that he gives, all his commands, all his doctrine, all his teaching, all his invitations, everything that comes from his mouth and that we will hear from him this morning through his word, comes from the Father. The Father. So the Lord Jesus is teaching. And a question arrives. And the Lord Jesus Christ responds with a command. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. No, he's not teaching salvation by works. Absolutely not. That's not what it is. It's not that you will, by striving, gain eternal salvation. Not at all. The Lord Jesus Christ taught very clearly. Open your Bible to John 6, verse 44. He taught very clearly. A free and sovereign grace, and grace alone. What did he say in John 6, verse 44? "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so he says this, and he also gives a command. Are there few that be saved? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. So what do we hear in this command, children? We hear of a gate. We hear of a straight gate. We hear of a door. What a wonder that there is a door. A door into the kingdom. A door into the eternal kingdom to be eternally saved. That's a wonder. That's a mercy. Why? Because we left God in paradise. We closed the door, and that door is absolutely bolted shut, locked. No way any sinner ever to be saved of himself. It's all by grace, and God provides a way. He provides a way back to himself. Who's the door? Who's the door? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that. He answers the question. John 10, verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus Christ is the door. What does that mean? He's the only way back to the heart of God. Is that what you long for? Is that what you're burning in your heart? To be reconciled with God? He's the only way. He's that only door. He's that straight gate. He's that way back to the Father. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he opened that door. He opened the way by his perfect life and righteousness, and by his blood, by his sacrifice. He has opened that door wide open. And Jesus Christ spoke about this gate earlier on. Matthew 7, verse 13. "Enter in at the straight gate." And a few years later, this already was a command in Matthew. But now a few years later, he again gives this command, and he adds one word: strive. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. What does that mean? What does it mean to strive? It means to agonize. It means to agonize. Exert every power in your body and your soul. Strain every nerve to abstain something. To obtain something. To be in a battle. To be fighting, because you need to have the victory, because you need to win. You need to win that race. You need to press towards that mark. You need to be saved. He says, pluck out the eye, cut off the hand, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Why strive? Why agonize? Because there's foes, there's enemies,
There's attacks from whom? From within. That wicked heart, our absolutely desperate wicked heart. We hear the word, and what do we say? Hath God said? We agree with Satan. What else about self? Oh, we have that wicked heart, that desperately wicked heart. We don't believe what the Lord says. We have all those sinful desires and lusts fighting in the battle against him by nature. And we have that great foe, Satan, who would not want to let anyone go. And he wants to keep them. He wants to keep them on the Broadway. He wants to keep them lost. He wants them to be forever lost and destroyed. He's a murderer. And he is such a wicked one. He even shoots at them that are before that very gate, ready to enter in. He already there even desires to shoot them and put them to death. But what a blessing. The Lord pulls them in, saved. But also we live in a world that draws our attention by nature. Glittering world with all its empty pleasures. What was Christian's life in Pilgrim Progress? From the moment that he was awakened in that city of destruction to that gate and to the celestial city, his life was one life of striving, agonizing to enter in. It's a spiritual battle, congregation, but it's a good battle, children. It's a good battle. It's the best battle. Because to be in that battle by grace under that precious captain, Jesus Christ. So strive. What's the greatest example of what that word really means? Striving, agonizing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The same word is used for him as we read in Luke 22, verse 24. And be in agony. Same word. He prayed more earnestly. Oh, that precious Savior. He strove. He was in agony to win salvation, to merit salvation for his dear sheep who would forever be lost without him. He came to do battle against sin, the world, Satan, the grave, and he conquered. But he came. He was striving, a holy strive in agony. And he commands, strive to enter in at the straight gate. So what does it mean that the gate is straight? That means it's narrow. Narrow. That's what it literally means. Remember, the Lord Jesus, children, spoke of two gates in Matthew 7. Those two gates. What are those two gates? A wide gate and a broad way. Where does that lead? To destruction. And a straight gate and a narrow way that leads to life, to salvation, to be eternally saved. So why is it a straight gate? Why is it a narrow gate? Isn't that door wide open for the chief of sinners? Yes, it is. In Christ, from God's side, that door is wide open. No restrictions. But it's narrow for us. Why? Because by nature we're enemies, we're proud, we're wicked. Why is it narrow? We cannot go with anyone else. It needs to be an entering in, a personal entering in. We can't take anyone along. You can't take your mother, you can't take your father, you can't take a consistory member, you can't take your minister, I can't take you. We need to go alone. It's narrow. It needs to be personal. But why else is it so narrow from man's side? Because we need to lose everything of self. We need to lose everything of self. And that goes against our pride, our spiritual pride. We need to lose everything. We need to become a lost, ungodly, unrighteous sinner with only filthy rags and nothing more, yet looking only unto him. And no man, no woman, no boy, no girl wants to just be exactly in that state. So it's narrow. But why else? Why was it narrow for the rich young ruler? Open your Bible. We'll read why. Matthew 19. It was narrow for him. Very narrow. Matthew 19, verse 24. Remember the Lord Jesus told him, go and sell everything that you have? And he went away grieving. Matthew 19, verse 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why was it narrow for this man? Will a rich man be saved? Yes, rich men can be saved. Abraham was rich. But why for this man? Because he had his heart. That was his heart was on his riches. His heart wasn't on him who's the door. His heart wasn't on him who is God and God alone. And so he had to lose his love for all the riches to gain life in that only Savior. But he went away grieving because his heart was in the riches. He couldn't enter into the kingdom taking all what he loved alone. Why else is it narrow? Pride. We need to become converted like little children. What does that mean? To be humble. To be completely dependent upon him. Dependent upon him and completely dependent upon him for absolutely everything. We need to lose life in self to find life in him. And that's what we don't want to do. But when the Lord teaches and when we lose life, it becomes such a wonder that's by free sovereign grace. Luke 17 verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve. Are there few that be saved? Are there? Jesus Christ in love commands, gives a command to perishing sinners. Why? He doesn't gratify inquisitive questions, but he cares for souls on the way to a never-ending eternity. And he gives a command to strive to enter in. It's all by grace and yet strive. And so we come stuck again. It's all by grace and we hear this command. And so we try to reconcile those two things together. And we say, but. And we become so stuck. We need to lose all our reasoning. And we just need to listen to the word of God. We want to use our logic and our reasoning. We need to become like little children. And we need to say amen to what he says. No man can come unto him except he draw him. But we also need to hear and learn and obey. Strive to enter in. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So what's revealed unto us? What does God say unto us? What is revealed unto us and to our children? What does the Lord Jesus Christ command? He commands, seek me. He commands, repent. He commands, believe. But what is the Lord Jesus Christ commanding in this verse? That's what we're listening to this morning. In this verse, in Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in. Enter in at that straight gate. Agonize for your soul. Agonize for the greatest care for your eternal life. Because lost, soul lost, all lost. So who is the Lord Jesus commanding here? Who is he? Who is he commanding? Who are ambassadors of Jesus Christ told to command, to strive, to enter in at the straight gate? What's your answer? Let's go back to the Bible. Let's let the Lord answer that question. Let's read those texts again. Verse 23. What do we read? Then said one unto him. One asked the question. One asked the question, are there few that be saved? And Jesus Christ gives a command to whom? Let's read. And he said unto them. So all present there, but also to everyone today. Everyone, all present, are called, commanded, strive to enter in. And what he longs is that word comes into your heart. And that you become guilty because by nature you're so comfortably under the truth. But you are not striving at all. You have no urgency that you become guilty under that command. And he longs that you hear it. It comes into your heart. And that by his grace there may begin today that striving by grace. Let's sing. Psalter 431, stanzas 5 and 6. 431, 5 and 6. Oh, that to my voice Israel would hearken, then they would rejoice, walking in my ways. Bright and joyous days, ne'er a foe would darken. 431, stanzas 5 and 6. Jesus' response to inquisitive question. We've considered the question. We also have considered part of the command. We will continue in that second point. In Pilgrim's Progress, congregation, children, there's two doors, right? A door which one must enter in to be on that narrow way. And there is a door to enter into that celestial city. And to be saved, you must enter through both doors. That is what it is to be eternally saved. And you must first enter through that first door, or you will never, ever enter through that second door. You will never go through that second door without going through the first door. And so I want to speak to you. You who have not entered through that first door yet, who are you? Lost. Yeah, lost. Because before that door, we don't know. It may go any way. It may go any way. What is it to enter through that door? What is it? What does that mean to enter through the door? That's faith. True saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the door to enter through, to go through, to come before that door, to be knocking at a door, and to be pulled in. That's true saving faith in that only Savior. And the evangelist in Pilgrim's Progress pointed to Christian, go to Wicked Gate. He fell on the slough, despond, go to Wicked Gate. He went to that Mount Sinai, where he thought he was going to die. He pointed him, go to Wicked Gate. Go to that only Savior. Strive to enter in at that door. All ambassadors who are called by that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, must point to that door. No, not to Mount Sinai. He uses the law to convict of sin. It's most necessary. But to be saved, you need to go through that door. That door is Christ. That door is that only Savior. You must enter through. It's not enough to be near the door. It's not enough to know about the door. It's not enough to hear about the door. It's not enough to see the door. You need to be through that door. You need to be in Him, in that Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to be covered by His righteousness. You need to be washed by His blood. Faith in that Savior is absolutely essential for salvation. And so we heard it, the command. But our hearts, our foolish, wicked hearts, our unbelieving, wicked hearts, so many things come up against this from our side. But I'm too young. I'm too young. I'm just a boy. I'm just a girl. Strive to enter in. But I've sinned so much in my life against all the better knowledge. Strive to enter in. I'm so old. I do such foolish things yet. I'm so wicked. Strive to enter in. But I do not know if I'm one of the elect. Strive to enter in. But I broke all the commandments. Strive to enter in. I sinned again today. Those sins that I confessed and begged to flee from, to be cleansed from, I sinned again. Strive to enter in. But I'm so evil. This heart is so hard. I don't hate sin as I should. I don't love the Lord as I should. Strive to enter in. But I have such gross, vile, wicked sins that I don't want anyone to know. Strive to enter in. What is it, congregation? What is it to strive to enter in through the gate? Let's let the Lord Himself answer that. Open your Bible to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, there He gives the answer clearly what it is to strive to enter in. Isaiah 55, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. And 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What is it? Seek. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him. Forsake all your sins, all your foolish thoughts, all your thoughts of how it should go. Forsake your thoughts of trying to logically balance absolute sovereignty and absolute responsibility, and you become so paralyzed with all those doctrines. Strive, seek, agonize for your soul. We're foolish. We're so absolutely foolish. You know what I saw the other day? Going around the corner here, past that gas station and down that road, there's a place that has old records. And I was going early in the morning to go to the airport. And I saw on the sign, I believe it said, open at 8 o'clock. And you could come and get some really nice nostalgic records. And you know what was there? Line of cars. Line of cars at 5:30 in the morning, striving to get a record, which means absolutely nothing. And it's even sin, because I'm sure they weren't good. But that's you and me. We strive for everything, for our body, for our kingdom, to have more money, to be healthy, to get education. We strive for everything, and the Lord says, strive to enter in. And we say, seriously? Really? All that we may become guilty, that we may become lost. What did Christian read above that door? When he came to that first door, what did he read? Luke 11 verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto him. And so we see Christian has strove. What a battle for that man. What a battle for sinners to come really before the gate, to really believe with their hearts. And he knocked and he was pulled in. What a beautiful picture. What a sovereign grace. Oh, may the Almighty God irresistibly work with the power of the Holy Spirit to awaken sinners, to awaken deceived sinners, to awaken sinners so comfortably lost, and that they may begin to strive by his grace, seeking, forsaking sin, begging, calling, crying, and that they may become finders, and that by God's grace, through all that strife, that they may enter in through the gates. Have you? May I ask you, have you? Have you entered through that first gate? Have you? Have you? Do you have true saving faith in that only Savior? What will you learn? Condemned, lost, guilty before a holy God. You will have a burden on your back. Christian entered through that gate with a burden. Today we hear Christians are saved and they never had a burden. What is that? What is that? No, we're not going to say it needs to be a certain size. Not at all. But there comes a burden. And that burden drives them to the gate. And that precious Savior of who he is draws them to the gate. And they strive to enter through the gate. Through the gate. Have you entered? By God's grace. No, it's not me. Christian didn't say it's all about me. No, he strove. But he gives all the credit to God. Have you? Are you striving to enter into the gate? Have you entered? Is there true saving faith in that only Savior? Oh, if it's true, then you're such a blessed person. Blessed person. Saved. Saved. What a wonder. You're blessed. But now I want to address you. Who have entered through that door. Because it's another door. There's another door that's coming. You need to enter through that second door. I want to address all those who by God's grace become an absolutely lost sinner and came to that door knocking and he pulled them in. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. Christian's life after the door. He didn't just sit and rest and say, I'm saved. No, he had to strive. What a striving when you read that book of how he came finally to the door. Church of God, lambs, sheep, children of God, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You may not rest. You may not rest. You may not rest until you're completely saved, brought home, till you enter through that celestial door into that heavenly city. God will save his people. Absolutely. That's the hope in preaching. That's the hope. Because he will do it. And yet, how does he cause his dear sheep and lambs, recipients of grace, to persevere? How? What do we read in the Canons of Dort, the fifth head, article 14? By the word, by meditation thereon, and by exhortations, or you could also say by commands, by threatenings, promises, as well as the use of the sacraments. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, lambs, sheep. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yes, that's also for God's people. That's for all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures daily. Meditate upon the word of God. The word of God is a means to sanctify you. It's a word of God to comfort you. It's a word of God to strip you. It's a word of God to prepare you for that heavenly celestial city. Strive. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cut off that hand. Pluck out the eye. Kill sin. Put on the new man. Set your affections on things above. You hear that? Strive to enter in. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth anymore. Be alert. Remember, Christian fell asleep and he lost that scroll. He lost assurance. Be a wrestler like Jacob. I cannot let thee go except thou bless me. Be like Paul. as we read, as he wrote, fight the good fight of faith. And he wrote in Colossians 4 verse 12, Epaphroditus, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Always fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And there in that text is the word strive, praying, laboring, fervently, the same word, wrestling with prayer, striving to enter in at the straight gate. Church of God, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, strive to enter in. What is that? To be found in him. To be found in him. That's Paul. That I may be found in him, covered with him, covered with his righteousness, washed in his blood. Sheep of the good shepherd, strive to enter in. Battle against all sin. All sin. Battle against self. Battle against Satan. Battle against the word, the world. Put on the armor of God. And watch. Be alert, church of God. That's what the Lord Jesus said in Luke 21 verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. Strive. You need to strive to enter in that first gate. And entering into first gate, you need to strive to come to that last gate. You need to fight that good fight of faith. You can't rest. You need to be alert. The roar lion, the devil is a roaring lion. You need to be like Paul. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so we come. The question asked, are there few that be saved? The command given, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And now a few words. The warning given. The Lord Jesus gives a command to all. What's your response? Are you arguing in your heart? Hath God said? Is this really true? What do we read in Hebrews 3 verse 15? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He gives a command with love for your soul for eternity. And now we read in Luke 13, verse 24. We read the following. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What a warning. What a warning from him who gives that command. Warning. Why? Why will many go lost? Too late. Forever, absolutely too late. You can be late for many things, but this, for your soul, too late. Hell is nothing but truth relies too late. It was the truth. Repenting too late, if it may be. Hell is an ever gnawing of the word, too late. I've been an absolute fool. I sat in church, I confessed the truth, and I was just comfortably lost. He says today, today strive to enter in. Why? Because tomorrow may be too late. Why? You may die. Or Christ may return, and then that door is shut. Children, remember when the door of the ark was shut, all that were in were saved, and all that were outside lost, perished under the wrath of God. But this morning, the door is still open. And he says, with love for your soul, strive to enter in. And maybe you say, some of you say, but it's too late. Maybe also you read this text, for I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall be not be able. It's too late. See, the door is shut. And Satan says, that's true. See, look in this text. It's closed. But that door is still open. When will this door be closed that we read here in this text? That's when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Then that door will forever be shut, closed. He gives a warning. And I want the Lord himself to speak. Open your Bible. A warning. It's a serious warning. Let's open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 24 through 30. And listen. Listen to him who is wisdom.
Listen to his warning. You've heard his command. And now listen. Proverbs 1 verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised at all my reproof. He says, strive to enter in. And we absolutely just reject it. We just carry on. That would be our guilt. And when the door closes, when he returns, oh, to have heard it. Think of those verses. That you would be shut out. And that lion, that lamb, that compassionate lamb of sinners will laugh. He will laugh. What words? What a warning. What a warning. But there's another door in Pilgrim's Progress. There's another door. Another door? There's a door of wicked gate to enter in faith in Jesus Christ. There's a door to enter into Celestial City. And there's another door. Listen. Children, do you know ignorance? Ignorance? He came to the Celestial City. He came to the door. He crossed that river by vain hope on a boat. And he began to knock on the door. And that's what we read in Luke 13, verse 25, 26. And ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. And thou hast taught in our streets. And so we see, come to the end of that book, what happened? What happened to ignorance? Knocking on that door. What happened? What did he hear? Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And I want to read you something at the end of the first part of Pilgrim's Progress. Then they took him up. That's ignorance. No, not Christian. Not hopeful. No, not them. Ignorance. And then they took him up. And carried him through the air to the door that I saw at the side of the hill and put him in there. Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well from the city of destruction. But we know Christian and hopeful, they entered in. We read in verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Yes. So some come there, expecting to enter in, knocking on that door. And there's another door, right from the gate of heaven to hell. What a warning. What a warning. So what's the difference? Let's close with that. What's the difference? What's the difference between Christian and hopeful and ignorance? What's the difference? Let's define it. You need to be saved. Well, you say one was saved, the other wasn't saved. Absolutely. But let's define it a little closer. What? What happened when Christian came to the gate? There was trumpets, we read in Pilgrim's Progress. And what do we read? And they had love for the king. They were born again. They went through the gate. They went through that first gate. They had a scroll. They had the testimony of the good shepherd. And they came to that gate and they had the testimony that these men, by God's grace, loved the king, loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and loved his commandments. But what about ignorance? He didn't go through that gate. He jumped over the wall. Ignorance didn't need that Savior. He didn't have faith in that Savior. He trusted in himself, all in self. And he had no love for the commandments of God. He was a worker of iniquity, a self-deceived Christian. He was a graceless professor. He was a hypocrite, an almost Christian, or whatever you want to name him. And he was lost. Lost.
But they, who by God's grace are saved, saved in their heart by God's grace, repent of all their sins and strive with all the difficulties, all the sin, all the wickedness, wretchedness are brought to him and believe in him and are on that narrow way striving to enter into that celestial king, hoping, trusting, looking only in that king and in his righteousness, they will forever be delivered. What was written above that door? We heard what was written above the first door. What was written? Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. There's the heart. There's the difference. By nature, we hate the commandments. We could be self-righteous or worldly. Christian and hopeful, they had a love for the king, love for that Savior. He became altogether beautiful. They knew of a burden of sin, and they knew they needed him to be delivered from that sin. But ignorance, he didn't have that burden. He didn't have that faith in Christ. And he came to the door absolutely lost. My friend, will you enter through that eternal door into that celestial city, or will you be cast out? Listen to Christ's word one more time. Strive to enter in at the straight gates. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, wilt thou irresistibly, almightily apply the power of thy word, also this command. Oh, may comfortably lost sinners and may know all the doctrines and confess, and yet lost, living for self in a very righteous way or in a worldly way. Oh, that they may become guilty, go home, and that they may be lost, begging thee for mercy. Lord, do wonders for thy great name's sake and remember all thy people. Oh, may they have also heard it, strive to enter in. Oh, may we be living with that longing to be forever delivered from all sin and to be with him, thy dear Son, and to be with the Father, to be forever in that presence, to forever be able to serve thee in with a whole heart, no sin, no sinful thoughts, no sinful desires, nothing, a will completely to serve thee wholly and perfectly, forever saved. Oh, work a holy jealousy and a longing to be that blessed people whose God is the Lord. And that grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto us and to our children. Lord, we thank thee for thy help, for thy precious word. Bless it to the glory of thy name. And may we come together again in this evening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 255, stanza 4. 255, stanza 4. While he proffers peace and pardon, let us hear his voice today. Lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. Lest to us so unbelieving, he in judgment shall declare. Yea, so long my spirit grieving, never in my rest can share. 255, stanza 4.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.